Those who can, do. Those who cannot, do it on the internet. FancyPantsGangsters.com. Welcome to the Well-Fed Guide to Life, brought to you in part by HopChart.com, and we continue the time without Dave, as he is currently incarcerated in the Tampa area jail system for stalking Andrew Zimmern. We hope he'll be back next week, but you know, the system works slowly down south. But this week we have a very special guest. Man hasn't been on the show in a while, way too long. And yet always manages to find fairly fancy places to go. You're a very expensive date, sir.
That's how I roll.
Of course, I'm referring to Kian Amdahl, lead guy behind Cafeteria. It's Cafeteria something.
Creative.
I knew it was another C.
That's an endeavor.
Cafeteria Creative. You're also, a lot of people may know you as Food Stoned. You're also part of, you're a very busy man. Chefs Vote No. That's going to be a big part of your day,
yes.
I'm sure. Above the Burner is another thing you're doing. Am I forgetting anything? Are you still writing Lavender?
I'm doing Lavender. I'm doing City Pages. In addition to that, we've also got the Minnesota Food Dudes. That's still rolling.
We still have not done one of them yet. And, I don't know how.
Gotta get you out.
We gotta do it.
We're trying to get geared up for one coming up soon.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Details have not yet been finalized, but within the next, hopefully, few weeks, we get together
and go
out for another expedition.
So we'll definitely talk about all the stuff that you do throughout the day, but we gotta talk about where we are, and more importantly for me is what we're drinking.
Yes.
So you suggested this place. I had actually never heard of this place because it just opened. It opened like 2 weeks ago, I want to say.
I don't even think it was full 2 weeks.
Yeah. Where are we at?
We are at the Nightingale, 26th and Lindale in the Uptown area, right next door to the Bulldog. This used to be some crappy
convenience store.
Yeah, it was like a Euro. Yeah, it was like a Euro place, wasn't it?
Yeah, all these curtain Euros are made right there.
That's right.
I used to come in here.
If I sit over there, can I still smell it?
They tore down the whole wall.
It was probably held up more by grease than
exactly,
wall at that
excellent.
Point, too.
More grease than wall.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, I remember the Euro place here.
Oh, yeah, I definitely... I used to live just down the street from here, so every once in a while it would not be necessarily uncommon to swing through and I guess back then it was more about getting like cigarettes and things for the CC Club.
Yeah, oh yeah.
You know, like that's where I used to... I grew up at the CC Club.
Which explains a lot, I think, but you know... But all the good things.
All the
good things.
Yeah, I'm going to go with that.
Yeah, that works.
I'm going to roll that. That's fine.
But yeah, brand new place. They've definitely swanked it up from the Euro place.
Absolutely. This is definitely swanky for this neighborhood.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, especially this kind of part. I mean, we're in Uptown, but we're in that Lynn Lake area, so it's a little older. It reminds me a lot of the Sample Room.
It's got the nice brick walls and the nice big spacious kind of booth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, comfy chairs actually.
Yeah, good chairs. Yeah, it's
a good vibe. It's got a good,
exactly.
It's got good juju.
It does, and I'm digging my drink for one thing. They've got a very promising cocktail list. Some classics. They do a Sazerac, which I'm not nearly drunk enough to want at this point. That's one of those where I have to have had.
You know,
few
I almost
first.
Went with that. I almost.
I don't mind the Sazerac, but when you combine rye whiskey and bitter, like that's a different. That's a ride you have to be prepared to take. That's not a casual drink for me.
Well, when whiskey, bourbon, rye is involved, that's always a ride I'm willing to take.
That is true. But they also do a Dark and Stormy. And when I actually had their Captain's Quarters, which is an Appleton Gold rum, along with, I want to say, Lugiardo, Maraschino, which is very light in this. The real kind of interesting flavor kick with this is it also comes with a lime because it's rum, so you got to have a lime in there somewhere. But it comes with an allspice dram. So it's almost like a cold toddy in a weird way. It's got like a little bit of a spicy kind of cinnamony kind of thing to it. I'm really digging it. They're not skimping on the alcohol. It's a good strong drink, which I appreciate it. You know, it's an $8 cocktail, and not a huge one, but I think for the level of liquor in it, I don't think it's a ripoff at all.
No, mine is quite good. You know, it's a. I went with my old standby, the Manhattan, which when I go to a new place and they have nice cocktails and a Manhattan on the menu, I have to go there. I got to do it. You know, you can never judge a place until you've had its Manhattan.
It's like me and tater tots. You got that thing. It's the bar that you set for every place.
Yeah. So this one's pretty good. You know, it's got the nice, looks like brandy cherry in there. And, you know, it's good. It's stiff. For $8, that's not too shabby.
You sound a little hesitant.
Oh, you know, it's not the world's greatest Manhattan, but it's you know.
It's good.
For this area, I'm sure it's better than what I could get across the street at the CC Club.
Probably.
You know, I'm sure if I would ask them, they'd probably just flip me the bird. Which I would fully expect.
Yeah, it is the CC Club.
Yeah.
So.
I don't think the Bulldog could manage anything quite like this either, so.
No. This place, I mentioned the sample room, you know, and it's similar to that in decor, but it's also somewhat similar in the menu. They specialize in small plates and kind of snacky things to share. Again, good variety of options. We've got a couple queued up. I don't want to mention any before, just in case we get them. But there's a bunch of things. I like a menu that I would have just about everything on.
Yeah.
You know? I'm more adventurous than some people, but I'm not hugely adventurous.
Sure.
And even I would... Like, everything on here sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's a really... it's a really solid mix, I would say, you know? Whereas the sample room, you know, you get a lot more of that, like... Like that localized rustic feel with their like, you know, their charcuterie and stuff. You don't maybe quite have that so much here. Not that they don't, you know, they got a pickled plate here and they've, you know, they've got different stuff like that, but I feel like they've got a more of a varied mix in the sample room.
This place feels like it should be more downtown than uptown.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it feels like a place you would go to before going to a show.
Yeah, I could easily see that.
Yeah. Because you're right, like with Sample Room, okay, you look at their menu and they list like where they're getting their goat cheese from, and they make a big deal about, you know, a house made sausage and all of that stuff. I don't see any references to where they're getting this stuff.
But that doesn't necessarily mean they don't do some.
No, absolutely not.
I'd be curious. We should maybe talk to the waiter a little.
That would be interesting. But I guess my point, and I'm not saying this is a bad thing. I'm just saying they're not making as big a deal about it. They're more just like, here's some good food. Go with it. It's kind of unpretentious.
Well, and I think you see that after a while. When that becomes such a big deal, you know, after a while people just sort of stop talking about it. It becomes expected. Although we do kind of live in the age of the rock star farmer. Which I love, you know, some of the most awesome people out there in the food scene right now, most active, are farmers. I mean, you've got like Dana from Laughing Loon Farms. She's super active in social media, and she provides a lot of local restaurants with just really great stuff. And then you've got the ladies like at Bossy Acres who are also really just proactive about being out there and making sure people can relate their face to their product, and that's amazing.
Do you find that it's more like social media adept people, younger people, getting into farming, or do you find it that they're farmers first and then they realize that in order to be a modern farmer you have to do the social media, you have to do, you know, you have to cultivate that, a little bit of a scene around your farm?
That's an interesting question, because I think in the case of some of them, like, you know, they're, a lot of them are younger folks who are, who understand social media, or at least kind of have grounds in it, but I don't know if they really started with social media until they had their farms.
Okay.
And I don't know that for a fact. You couldn't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure, I don't think Dana had a Twitter account until Laughing Hills. Mm-hmm. But again, don't quote me on that. I'm not sure. But
Dana is welcome to come on the show and refute you anytime. And she can bring stuff
if she wants to. She is awesome. She's super fun.
We need to get more farmers on. I'm sick of talking to you damn journalists.
And the farmers are really where it's at. I mean, they are funny, and they are fun, and they know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
Without question. So you should absolutely do that.
We need to do that. Maybe that's a good, you know, maybe that's a good thing for the winter.
Maybe I'll put you guys together.
Yeah, I think that would be awesome. I think that would be awesome.
Try to facilitate this.
So you are, as we mentioned, you are an extremely busy person.
This is true.
And a lot of that has to do with the Chef Vote No initiative, I guess you could say. You call it an initiative.
That seems...
A movement, perhaps?
I don't know if it's a movement or just a large sort of outcry, I guess. You know, it's an interesting project because it's one that I love doing that kind of work with the videos and working with chefs, but to be perfectly honest, it's a project that I hate doing. Because
I know where you're going, but before we get into that, for people that either aren't terribly politically aware, or they might be out of state, they may not know what we're voting no against here.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, so on the ballot this year, Minnesota has what is being lovingly referred to as the Minnesota Marriage Amendment, which seeks to define marriage as a union between one man and one woman, which effectively bans same-sex marriage here at the constitutional level.
Yeah.
So,
which makes it a bitch to change.
Absolutely. So, there's been a pretty righteous movement to get people motivated to vote no against this amendment. Just because of the sort of ramifications of it, the sort of discriminatory nature of it.
Oh, there we go.
All right.
Shiitake oyster mushroom bruschetta.
Wow.
Wow. That is very pretty.
Very, very pretty. That's great.
Yeah. Anything else for you right now?
No, that's fantastic.
We're good for right now. You might need to come back later, though.
Okay. Do you want to leave one of these menus here?
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, I've got this right here.
Okay.
So we're good.
I'll leave the beverage.
Minions. That'd be great. Thanks.
I'm going to snap a few photos.
That would be great.
That
would be awesome.
So
while you're doing that, so what you've decided to do is you have wrangled together a bunch of local chefs who, my guess is, and again, this is where I need your expertise in foreign cultures. Chefs strike me as a fairly liberal bunch.
Well, some are and some aren't.
Okay.
But what?
So you're saying chefs are like regular people?
Chefs are like regular people. But what made so much sense to do, you know, having chefs be the primary demographic for this? One, I've got that connection to a lot of these people. And two, when you work in, if you've ever worked in a kitchen before, it is one of the most diverse environments you can encounter. And in order to get through a service, you need to be able to work with everybody. You need to figure out a way to make it happen. So to me, that's just a natural translation of what's going on the grander scale. You know, it may not be your thing, which is fine. You know, I always say if you don't like gay marriage, don't get gay married. you know. But
it's a daily struggle for me.
It is for some, you know.
For some, you know.
You know, but it is what it is, and you find a way to make it work for everybody. Certain groups of citizens don't get different rights than others. If you seek to, you know, remove those rights from a group of citizens, then you have to remove those same rights from all citizens. So you can't, especially at the constitutional level, or I mean at any level, really, but so going back to what I was talking about before, this is a project that I like working with chefs, I like doing the video. I hate having to do this project because it shouldn't be a topic that's even being addressed. It shouldn't be a topic that's it shouldn't be allowed, you know. But it's I get all heated about this.
No, I can understand. And what I think is interesting is, you know, one possible criticism to the chef's vote no stuff.
Sure.
Since you are targeting kind of foodies and people that are interested and possibly even know who these chefs are.
Yep.
There might, and again, I'm having broad sweeping generalizations here. But yeah, you know, again, this might be where it might be slightly more of a liberal crowd.
Uh-huh.
So there might be a little bit of preaching to the choir here, but at the same time, what I've liked about the stuff, the videos that you've done and the people that you've gotten involved is that there's this nice cross-section of places that everyone, I mean, it's not just, you know, foodie-type places and hipster kind of places. It's you're going to places that anyone would have gone to.
Sure.
And it's almost you're associating, you know, there's amongst the debate about things like, you know, gay marriage, things like that, there's almost this kind of, I don't want to say an inhumanity to it, but it's like assuming the opposition aren't real people.
Yeah.
And it works from both directions. I'm not saying.
Absolutely.
So kind of tying this in with real people outside of commercials and things like that, it kind of humanizes it at the same time. Plus, when you associate a place with, you know, plus it's great for the chefs, because it's another way to get their name out and associated with something that I'm sure a lot of them.
It shows their community where they stand, that they that they are members of the community, and that's again why I thought it was a great demographic, because these are everyday people. These are the people you see at grocery stores. These are the people you see at the restaurants you go to. The people you see at the parks with their kids. Some of them are gay and some of them are not. There are many episodes of The Chefs That Vote No where nobody is gay. But they feel very strongly about it because their businesses are in part supported by people who are gay. You know, and it's not like they're sitting at the door polling people, but they know. You know, some of the guests that inevitably come in are going to be gay.
It's going to happen.
Yeah, and they respect that. There's no reason why they wouldn't serve them, you know, just because they're gay. But, you know, amendments like this make you start to question that sort of thing. And, you know, that's step one. What's the next piece of constitutional legislation that gets passed? You know?
You don't have to name names.
Uh-huh.
But have you approached anybody that have just said, no, I'm not interested in helping, you know, I'm, for whatever reason, can be, you know, I am for the amendment, could be for, you know, just for whatever reason, they don't want to get politically involved, whatever.
There's sort of a yes and no with that.
Okay.
Because I have had, there was one person who didn't want to help.
Okay.
However, it wasn't because they were very supportive of the Vote No movement. They're just not comfortable getting in front of a camera. Totally respect that. I get it. It's hard. You're putting yourself and your business on the line. So it gives me more respect for the people who have agreed to do this. I mean, that's amazing. They are putting their livelihoods on the line to say that this is not okay. There were a few people I haven't heard back from. And to be fair, they're some of the most tremendously busy people in the state. So I don't think it's because they don't want to support in certain instances. I mean, I don't know, But my guess is it's just that there's just not enough time in a day.
Oh, I can imagine.
I can totally understand and appreciate.
So let's... Right, the first round of food has arrived. And I showed off my lack of culture by not getting down with the fork and knife on the bruschetta like you did.
I probably should have just picked it up and eaten it. So, I get a lot of criticism for fork and knifing a lot of things.
It's all right. Sometimes it's better to be a little more genteel than just being some sort of ravenous food beast. So
I want to be the ravenous food beast. I'm all about that.
So we'll start with the bruschetta. They got a couple different options. What we went with is the roasted mushrooms. They're actually a roasted oyster mushroom. And a sunny side up quail egg. Which, between this place and Masu, I have really, really fallen in love with the quail egg.
Like, that's nice. They're cute.
They're cute. It's a good size. You know,
it's good for a dish like this.
Exactly.
Because the way it comes, you know, they split it kind of diagonally, and each side gets a quail egg.
Exactly.
So for splitting with two people, it's great. Whereas a larger egg. It's a little bit harder because they'd probably just use one. And
yeah, it'd just be a mess. Yeah. And, it's on a piece of toast that they cut up. It's not like, you know, little like shrimp scampi squares or anything like that. And we made the comment when he put it down, but it was probably the prettiest bruschetta I've seen in quite a while.
It's really nice. And it's really good.
It's fantastic. I'm not a big mushroom guy, but I thought the mushrooms...
Yeah, I love mushrooms, and you put a runny egg on top of just some simple sautéed mushrooms, and man,
yeah,
there's almost nothing better.
The mushrooms are very good. That runny egg, that sunny side up egg was just about perfect. Perfectly cooked. Where you got a little bit of run to it, but still held together. Well, it was like a really fancy, breakfast. You got mushrooms and eggs on toast.
If I could eat that for breakfast, man.
That would be awesome.
That would be awesome.
On the opposite side of the fancy scale, we got the onion rings, which you have not tried yet, so you have to have them. We talked about this before the show. We are both very big onion fans.
Yep.
I had a trip up to Grand Marais this past weekend, and I kept finding different places doing onion rings. So I think I've had more onion rings in the last 96 hours than I've had in the last few months, which is not a bad... I'm not complaining at all.
They're very popular up there.
They are. They are. And
did you have any really good ones up there? Because
I did.
A lot of times they get the frozen ones and they just throw in a fryer.
Yeah, I did. There was a place... a couple places I went. There was one called My Sister's Place, which is in Grand Marais. And very good. Very good food overall. We went there, we had their pizza. It was the late night dinner after we had driven up. It's about a four and a half hour drive from the Minneapolis to Grand Marais. And so we're just like, we just need some food, nothing really fancy. So we had their pizza, it was very good, nice thin crust. They had their killer onion rings. So I'm like, well, I gotta try these because they say they're killer, and you know, I always like to put menus to the test on things like that. Similarly, we tried a place that the name of the place was the world's best donuts. So I mean, you gotta challenge something like that.
Oh yeah.
Now with the killer onion rings, they were good, but they were basically like. They were like shoestring potato length, or like width. You know, they're very, very thin. And which is fine, it's not my thing.
I think they refer to that more generally as like an onion straw.
But it was round, and you know, they did the whole thing, but it was very much like an onion straw.
But thin?
Yeah, it was interesting. I mean, they were definitely hand cut, but just hand cut extremely thin. So they were good. They were not the best I ever had. We also went to a place...
quite killer.
It wasn't quite killer, no. I clearly survived, so, yeah. We also went to a place on the way back, and I don't know what town it's in, but it's somewhere between Grand Marais and Duluth. And now I'm really... kicking myself because I can't remember the name of the place. I think it's just called The Pie Plate. No, that was another place we ate.
I've heard of The Pie Plate.
The Pie Place was fantastic, but they didn't have their onion rings. I did have their maple meatloaf there, which was outstanding. But oh my god,
meatloaf is something that's very underrated.
It is very much so. And now I want to put maple syrup in all my meatloafs.
Oh yeah.
So because I definitely converted on that one. But I cannot remember the place. I'll put it in the show notes. But it was a place known for their pie, and they also did their onion rings. And their onion rings are actually fairly close to what we've got here. Thicker, beer batter, very light.
It's nice. It's got a good puffy batter.
It's a very puffy batter. It's a well cooked. It's got enough crisp to it, but it's also kind of light, which is tricky on onion rings because, you know, as you mentioned, they can become just a lead sinker pretty quickly.
They are good though. The only thing, I don't know, man. There aren't too many like pre-packaged products that like I even enjoy at all. But something about like the Heinz ketchup and onion rings, I love. So they've got kind of a, what do they call it, an ancho ketchup?
An ancho ketchup.
It's not spicy at all.
No.
It looks kind of like a dark chipotle color, but it's got zero sweetness.
No.
And that's what I really want, a sweet kind of condiment with my
onion rings. I'm with you. You know, it's weird, and this is where I'm going to sound like I'm a drug user.
Bring it on.
But the one word I had when I was having that, and you're right, it's not terribly sweet, not terribly spicy. The word I kept thinking of when I was having it was this tastes purple.
It tastes purple. And so now that makes it sound like it tastes it's like some weird grape flavor.
Well, but that's what I'm saying. It's almost like this kind of combination. It's almost kind of like almost a grape jelly kind of flavor to it. It's a little fruity, but not just super sweet.
Absolutely. It's got that fruity chili flavor.
Yeah, but yeah, no heat whatsoever.
Yeah,
and,
zero heat.
And I hate to say it, but I was a little disappointed.
It also doesn't have. When you hear the word ketchup, there's a couple things. Maybe it doesn't always have to be sweet, but I prefer the ones that tend to be a little bit sweeter.
Mm-hmm.
But vinegar is another component. You want that sort of sour. You want like that. For me, the perfect ketchup, and I prefer homemade ketchup, but you get that nice sweet and sour dichotomy, which is one of my favorite things. And this doesn't have it. This is really just it's almost a chili paste, a really mild, thin down chili paste.
Yeah, I think they could have done more with it. We also got that deviled eggs.
Yep.
Because so few places do deviled eggs, which is a damn shame.
They're coming up more.
They're starting to come up.
See them.
I think deviled eggs have the potential to be like a bruschetta in the sense that they can be a vehicle for a lot of different things, and there's a lot of you can do a lot of playful things with flavors and textures on there. What they've got here at the deviled eggs, it's a dill and caviar, so it's kind of an egg on egg meta thing.
Yeah,
we like that.
That's deep.
I know. This is a thinker kind of man.
No, this is that play on Scandinavian food is all the rage.
That's
and
right.
This is captivating that spirit or in trying to.
Did you like it? Because we've each had one so far.
I like it.
You like it?
I don't love it. I like it. Again, for me, when it comes to things like a deviled egg, go for it. When it comes to things like deviled eggs, I like a touch of sweetness. We grew up here in the Midwest on, you know, I'm going to vastly generalize for all of you, so deal with it. We grew up on the Miracle Whip deviled eggs here. A little Miracle Whip, maybe some mustard, whipped in with the yolks, sprinkled with a little paprika, and there you go, ta-da. So there was always that nice sweetness to the yolks. And love or hate Miracle Whip, that's a whole other conversation for another day. The sweetness is something that I enjoy. And I now, when I make my own deviled eggs, I use real mayo. But I try to incorporate a little bit of that sweetness in some way. Sometimes it'll be, you know, maybe some diced sweet pickles up into the mix.
Ooh, that's a good idea. I like that.
You know, there's a lot of ways to do it. You could even do like a nice caramelized onion in there. You know,
I've seen that a couple places.
You can make a lot happen. And I love that dimension to a deviled egg. This doesn't have that at all. It's just got the yolk is really creamy.
Yes.
You know, it's probably, let's split this in half.
Yeah.
I need to go back in there to maybe identify what some of this stuff is.
But yeah, it's, you know, what concerns me about this, I think, just from a taste perspective, I like a little stiffer.
Yeah.
I like a little stiffer yolk in a deviled egg. You know, I'm not as big a fan of the creamy thing, but, you know, whatever. But to me, I'm exactly with you. There needs to be a little contrast in flavor.
Yeah.
And
just a little one note.
Yeah, do we, what do we want to go for here?
Whatever. Bring it on.
Well, we got to try the pickle plate.
Pickle plate?
Yep. And I've been eyeing that pork shoulder.
Pork shoulder?
So we'll do
that.
Is
there something that you're super...
Yeah, what do you really like?
A house special? Like,
I'm a big fan of the buns.
Okay.
The wings. The mussels. For the salads, I like the grilled romaine.
Okay.
For the green, that is. Some vegetables, I like roast pork.
So the pork is not... Not one of your favorites?
It is. I haven't had a full plate of it yet, though.
Okay.
So I don't feel like I can be a true critic.
Okay.
To be honest. But people love it. Okay. People order it too.
And do you source a lot of the stuff locally here, do you know?
Yeah, like, a lot of it's locally.
I mean, obviously the prawns and the scallops and things of that nature.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Well, the
but kind of where you can.
Prawns are freshwater. But, yeah. The wings are, you know, they're cage-free.
Okay.
They're around the tank, but,
yeah. Cool.
I believe the beef is also locally sourced.
Okay.
I think they know half the farmers.
Yeah. All right, cool.
Awesome. Hey, you guys got the right bouchetta. I love the mushroom and the filet.
That was
really good. That was very good.
Crab chorizo's been quite popular. I didn't get to try that very
okay.
It wasn't fresh when I had it, so.
Okay.
I got one of those nasty crab allergies that doesn't let me have that anymore.
Oh,
so.
That's a shame.
It is a terrible shame.
Here,
I think the pork sounds good.
But I love the Brussels sprouts. I think I've taken here.
Okay.
I love Brussels sprouts.
All right, we'll do the pork shoulder and the pickle plate.
That sounds good.
We'll see where we're at that point.
Beautiful.
All right, thanks, man. So I don't know if you heard that, but you know, like you said, a lot of locally sourced stuff. But, you know, again, I think it's somewhat telling that they don't make a big deal of it. And that kind of might be what you were talking about. Where
that
it's just,
sort of downwards.
I don't think it's more just expected at this point. And you're well, not and impressing
I,
anyone.
Yeah. I, you get that a lot out. I spent some time in Portland. And there, you know, it really is an expected thing. Like, you are expected to source locally where you can and... You know, and for them, it's even easy. They're on the ocean. They get all that nice fish.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so, like, it just sort of is the norm. I don't think you make it very far if you're not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
If you're using frozen ingredients and that sort of thing. And which is what we want. Yeah, that's absolutely what we want here. That's phenomenal. So if we can get to that point where it doesn't necessarily need to be mentioned, that's cool. But at the same time, like we were talking about before, we're kind of in the era of the rock star farmer, which is very cool. Like, you know, you talk about celebrity chefs and stuff, and that's here becoming, I don't quite want to go passe because it really it hasn't happened on the level that I feel that it should. I mean, we have chefs here that are a world talent easily, but we also have farmers who are producing goods that are, you know, good on a global scale. You know, I mean, they are top quality.
I think the difference between celebrity chefs, and there's clearly, you know, celebrity chefs going back, you know, decades.
Yeah.
But I think the concept of a celebrity chef really took off in the advent of Food Network, reality television, those kind of things. And I think farming, you can't do a farming-based reality show. Because it would take 6 years to shoot.
Yeah, see, now A&E's like, oh, screw that, we're on this.
Well, you know, I'd love to see them do it, because I'd be curious how the hell they do it. But you can't do an elimination challenge when it takes you 8 months to grow a crop. You know, it's hard to do.
It's a commitment.
It's a commitment, yeah. You get maybe one season, it'd take you 5 years to shoot it, and, you know, and by then, who cares? You know? So I think if they can figure out how to do a reality show based around farming, I think then you'll start to really see that rock star farm.
There really isn't. I got rid of my cable a while ago, so I don't really know what's out there. Mm-hmm. I just became aware of a show called like Breaking Amish, where there's, you know, it involves Amish people.
So they're beating them up.
I think it's Amish people who aren't quite Amish, and like they're embarking on the real world. That's my impression of it. I don't really know.
We know nothing about this show.
I know very little of this show, so I'm probably speaking completely out of place. But what the hell?
Why not?
Why not?
Why not? You know, I doubt anyone from A&E listens to the show.
Didn't they put like Paris Hilton on a farm for like a while?
Yeah, the Surreal Life.
That
was her and Lionel Richie's kid.
Nicole Richie.
The other one, yeah. The shorter one.
The shorter one.
That's all I remember.
I'm surprised that there isn't a farm show. It seems like somebody would have been like, let's make a show about farmers.
I think it would almost have to be like, you know, like any of these restaurant kind of shows, where it's not like a challenge show, but it's like, yeah, you have to go and you interview the people involved, and you check out a specific area. Kind of like the show, the food truck show that Dave and I did. You were invited. So you're saying we're bigger celebrities than Foodstone is.
Yes.
That's what I'm hearing right now.
That's right. Apparently so.
Excellent. All right. Well, I apparently don't need to have you on the show anymore, so since we're clearly much bigger than you. So
I guess not.
Yeah.
So my time is coming.
We're doing you a favor by having.
That's all right. I think I politically sunk myself already.
let's get back to that, because you did a very cool thing. I don't know if you did it yourself or if you just promoted the hell out of it, but in this day and age, that's almost the same thing. You helped auction off a dinner for four with friend of the network, Chris Cluey. He hasn't been on this show yet. We're going to try to get him on at some point. But he was on our video game show a couple times.
Cool.
So a very cool guy. But you helped auction off a dinner for four with him.
Correct.
And you made some decent money, if memory serves.
Yeah, auction just closed today at about 12:30. We made $4,050.
Wow.
100% of it goes to Minnesota for All Families to help fight this amendment. And that's funny how that came about, because this is one of those power of social media things. A friend of mine from Twitter just sort of threw out the suggestion that somebody should do, you know, an auction off dinner with Chris Cluey, with the proceeds going to Vote No, and she tagged both Chris and I in it. And I responded and was like, that would be super fun, and I guarantee I could make something come of that. And literally 15 minutes later, I get a DM from Chris saying, let's do it.
I've gotten similar DMs, not nearly as socially worthy,
yeah.
but yes.
So I was just like, okay. So he, you know, we exchanged emails and have been going back and forth to figure stuff out. I got in touch with the strip club over in St. Paul, which is a great little restaurant, you know, owned and managed by Tim Niver, who's very well known within the community, and J.D. Fratsky is the chef over there, and also just extremely talented, and they were one of the people that had come out and they did one of the Vote No videos, and theirs got tremendous response. And I think it was because some of the honesty coming from the two of them. They're both straight. You know, they both have families and lives and things like that, but their stories were powerful and their points were strong, and that resonated huge with viewers. So it just made sense to sort of connect the dots and say, well, Chris Cruley is, you know, saying let's do this, and I've got these guys over here who are very outspoken and very talented and have one of the best restaurants in town. Let's just draw those dots together and bring everybody together and make it happen. So, you know, I went and sort of through, you know, the whole cafeteria creative bit that you were talking about before is sort of just a tag that I've given to my videos in case, for whatever reason. It's like I should probably have like a company. I'm doing air quotes here.
It adds legitimacy.
It adds a little bit of legitimacy, and like if somebody wants me to make something for them, it gives me the ability to do that. So I've kind of been working that route. So sort of using that name and that whatever, I started an eBay campaign and just put it out there on eBay. And within the first day, I think we were close to 1,500. Second day, it was well over 2,000. And then we got up to 3,000, and it sort of sat there for a while because you could see all the sharks waiting in the wings. There was a lot of people who were actively watching it. And then come this morning, it just went bam. You know, it was,
all the snipers.
They came out trying to get it last minute. And it was really cool. In the end, we made a lot of money for a great cause. And, you know, Chris has been great to work with. You know, I still have yet to meet him in person, but he's been tremendous in scheduling different things.
Oh, fresh silverware, or
I'm good.
That's fine.
I'm not fuzzy.
Thank you.
Some stuff?
Yes, I'm done. Thank you.
But yeah, he was phenomenal to work with, and because when that came up, you know, there were some people wanting to talk to him about it. So I tried to facilitate any of that stuff because he's a busy guy.
He's a busy guy.
not just with the, for those who might not know who Chris Cluey is, he's the punter for the Minnesota Vikings. And then he's been an outspoken person for the Vote No movement here.
And outspokenly vulgar, which we endorse.
Also endorse. That's why he doesn't know it yet. He, like I said, we've never met in person, and we've only had very civil exchanges and emails, but like that was a pretty perfect union, I feel like. I feel like we have a lot in common, and he doesn't know it yet. I'm a big Vikings fan. Have been forever. Not fair weather. So it worked out great, and the guys at the strip club have been super cool. I'm super, it's a mystery menu sort of scenario, so I'm super excited to see kind of what they're going to pull together.
So the prize or the whatever you want to call it, is a dinner for four.
Yep.
I'm assuming you're including Chris as part of the four.
No.
Oh, so you can bring four people.
It's four.
Or three people, including yourself.
And then with Chris.
Are you going to try to sneak in on this? Are you going to try to pretend? I'm seeing you dressed up as a waiter somehow, just to, like, hang out.
I think Tim is going to be doing the service himself. So I don't think that's going to work out very well. I could try to like hijack him and hide him in a closet, but I'm like probably a foot shorter than he is.
Yeah, he's a big guy.
He's at least compared to me, who is not a big guy.
You have the advantage of the low center of gravity.
I do.
Yeah, so you can take him out at the midpoint.
I'm a big guy, but I'm not a tall guy.
So. Hey, I married a short woman, and short people you got to watch out for in hand-to-hand combat situations.
We're pit bulls.
You are. It's
cool.
It's not a
But yeah, I might show up, try to take some photos. But otherwise, it's just them. They're gonna do their thing.
Can you ask him about his hair?
His hair?
Because he's got this long, this luxurious mane. That I saw some great photos today. Not gay myself, but I kind of want to touch his hair. So
he's,
it could be a jealousy thing. That might be, but yeah.
Also, I myself am not a gay man, but he is pretty.
He's a pretty man. He's a pretty, pretty man.
He's got the locks of love, man.
Well, what else are you doing? As if that wasn't enough. I mean, you're still doing the Above the Burner.
Yeah.
You're still doing the writing, things like that. Like, what has been the biggest thing you've written about, other than the Vote No stuff? Like, what, have you checked out any places, restaurants, other farms, or things that you've written about?
I've had a harder time getting out to places regularly to write about. I've been covering kind of more news-related topics as they come up and things like that.
All right, I got a news question for you.
While
we're talking about this, because and Dave, I don't think knows this yet.
Uh-oh.
Because he's been out of town. But one place that we've always wanted to try, but never did.
Wow.
Pickled thing. Pickled shiitake mushroom. Pickled beets.
Ah. Excellent.
Fun.
One place that we always wanted to try, but never did for some reason, was Tom Pham's Asian Kitchen. And now I'm finding out we're not going to get a chance to.
Yeah. Well.
And I'm a little disappointed, damn it.
I did eat there once.
Because it looked like the Vegas showgirl of Asian restaurants.
It looked... On the inside, in my opinion, like your stereotypical kind of Chinese restaurant. Like, you walk into the Red Dragon, it's that, like, 1980s, like, everything's dark red with the gold trim, you know. Like,
the advantage of the Asian Kitchen, though, is that you probably won't get shot.
There's a probably that comes along.
There's a probably, you know. Yeah,
especially with the record that's coming out around. So I wasn't very impressed when I went in there. And I've said this a few times, like, to me, he seems like the kind of guy who wants to have a nightclub, which is a perfectly respectable thing.
Yeah.
You should do that. And maybe not do the restaurant bit so much, you know. Focus on what it is you love doing.
Yeah.
And run with that.
Yeah, I mean, Tom Pham, he originally owned Asia, right in Uptown. Closed that. Open up Tom Pham's Asian Kitchen. Now, is that closed now, or is that still closed?
Oh, yeah. It closed very abruptly.
There's all sorts of kind of legal shenanigans going on. One we've talked about on the show before, there was some dispute about stolen recipes and things like that, which we talked about at length when it came on. But now there's allegations of bounced checks and things like that. Like, it sounds like it was just run terribly.
I mean, I don't know. I'm not close to the situation, so I'm not really in a place that's prepared to talk about. But I can talk a little bit about, you know, the sort of the rumor mill that exists around him. And the second you start getting involved in the scene and paying attention to what's going on, the second you start hearing things about sort of the nefarious dealings of Tom Pham, some of them may be true, some of them may be not. They may all not be true. You don't know.
Yeah.
But sort of based on what winds up happening to his businesses, one can suspect that there might be more truth there than not.
There we go. Very good.
Good.
Goodness.
Got some more water.
Thank you. So we got our round two. Got the pickle plate, which includes pickled shiitake mushrooms. So again, a good mushroom. Thank you.
No problem.
A pickled beet, because it's Minnesota and you gotta do that at some point. and pickled green beans. And I have to thank my Aunt Holly for introducing me to pickled beans. Yeah. Never had pickled beans until it was last Christmas, actually. And my Aunt Holly, you know, the Peterson side of my family, just on the happy side of certifiable. Okay, it's a very odd group of people. And Holly is definitely, you know, she holds her own in the odd department. So she came to Christmas with this giant jug of pickled green beans and pickled asparagus and anything pickled that you wouldn't expect to be pickled. And really turned the entire family on to pickled green beans. And ever since then, I just can't get enough of them. And I really dig these.
I'm a proponent of pickled whatever. I mean, if you can pickle it, do it. Mm-hmm. You know? It's funny, there's that... I don't know if you've watched Portlandia at all, but there's a whole skit around that. But it's true.
It's true.
I love things that are pickled. It's kind of an odd pickled place.
It is. It's very strong. It's a very tart pickling, especially
well, you got the mushrooms, the beets, and the green beans, and that's what it is. And it's very rustic in its own way, where a lot of this stuff is... they're trying to be very refined with and whatever. Yeah, this plate is what it is. It's some green beans and some mushrooms and some beets. And they're all good. The mushrooms are nice. They got nice, they got like a spiciness to them.
They almost got like a Worcestershire kind of bite to them. Almost kind of an Asian-y kind of, like I'm getting kind of Asian, like Chinese, like cheap Chinese food, which sounds horrible, but that's the vibe I'm getting off of it. So far I've compared the taste to cheap Chinese and purple on this show.
No, it does. It's definitely got the rice wine vinegar. Mm-hmm. It's got the hoisin. I almost think they use hoisin here.
That wouldn't surprise me. The beet is really good as well.
I love beets.
As a Minnesotan, I feel bad saying this, but I'm slowly coming around to beets. I was not pro-beet for a long time, but...
Yeah, I had never had beets growing up. My mom, she was from New York, and beets just were not a part of my upbringing. And the first time I ever had one, which wasn't, you know, within the past few years, I was like, wow, this is what beets are? And for a while, I was probably eating way too many beets. But I love them.
Also comes with, I think a really nice, almost like, pita style cracker with some house cultured butter. I really dig the butter.
Yeah, this is the kind of butter that you want to bathe in.
It's and it could be just the combination of the butter and the pita, but this is almost heart stoppingly salty. But it's a good, you
it's
know what
awesome.
I mean?
Yeah.
It's really really fantastic.
I'm a big fan. Yeah, it's that nice just soft butter. Mm-hmm. Creamy and what dreams are made of.
I will say the ratio of cracker to butter is way off though. You don't get nearly enough cracker.
No, we still got a giant lump of butter.
I know.
And I really do want to just eat it as is.
I feel bad like buttering my beans or something. Well, although that might not be a bad idea.
No, I think that's fine. I feel bad taking just a spoon to the butter. I want to kind of avoid that, but. Alright, we should try this pork business.
I know. What is that on? Is it like a...
This is the grit cake.
Oh, it's a grit... Okay.
So it's kind of like a seared polenta sort of thing.
Almost a cornbready kind of thing. But yeah, this is the smoked pork shoulder with a little bit of kind of a slaw of roasted peppers. Cool. You can smell... I mean, it smells fantastic.
It does indeed. It does have a lot of good flavors.
It does. You know, I'm not loving the grit cake.
It's missing.
It's missing something.
Like the yeah. No. See, now take one of those mushrooms, flop that on top, and eat it. There's like a This needs an acidic opponent.
It does.
It doesn't have anything like that. It's very flat. And it needs an elevator. It really does.
It does. Yeah,
it's got these nice celery greens. I'm a huge fan of celery greens. And people don't use them very often. They discard them, and it's like they're nice. They're a good touch. But yeah, this needs some sort of acid. It needs another dimension. It's really, really flat.
I really like the pork.
It's tender. It's moist.
It's tender. I got a nice. You get the random little bit of good char on there, which really adds to it a lot. But yeah, I see what you're saying though. It's just missing just a little something. Mm-hmm. Again, maybe that pickle, you know,
a
little pickled cabbage on there.
Like if those red peppers that they put on top. Those were pickled peppers?
That would be fantastic.
That would be phenomenal.
That would be outstanding. Yeah, the grip cake needs something.
The pork is a little under-seasoned too, I think. It's good. It's cooked well. It's just a little...
Yeah. But still worthwhile.
Yeah. It just leaves you missing a little something.
So we should wrap up here. We're approaching the hour mark.
Wow, really?
I know. Time flies, man. So, for you, highlights of this place, the Nightingale.
That mushroom and quail egg was, the bruschetta was awesome. I really like that. I think that was my highlight. The pickle plate is good. It's a little weird, I feel like. I like everything on it, but it just doesn't feel like it doesn't fit the flow of this place.
I'm gonna be fat out here. Just eat butter.
The pork needs a little something. Deviled eggs, again, they're good, and they're trying to capture that like Swedish thing we got here, that like Scandinavian love that we have with Bachelor Farmer and Alfika. But it doesn't quite get there.
Yeah.
I think this place has huge potential.
I agree.
A few minor tweaks and
I mirror pretty much every one of your comments. I mean, that bruschetta was fantastic. I liked the onion rings. They weren't outstanding, but you know
the onion rings
good.
Themselves were good. It was the condiment.
Yeah, the
onion rings need condiments. I'm
they
sorry.
Do need
I don't care who you are.
But in every single one of the things that we were soft on.
Yep.
It was because there was lacking an acidity. It was lacking.
It was lacking a component.
It was lacking
a basic like flavor profile.
Yeah. You know, the deviled eggs. I think you know, even something as simple in Minnesota as just a little paprika, just a little difference in that. Because
again,
you know,
a little sweetness, a little acidity, a little something.
Yeah, I like that green onion. The sweet pickle idea. Just you know, doing that. To me, the strongest part of that. Deviled egg was the caviar.
So and the caviar is what gives it. You know, the caviar's got that salinity.
Mm-hmm.
So
all I got was all I could taste though, because everything else is so mild. It was. I felt like I was eating fish.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is fine, but that's not what I want in a deviled egg.
You've got you really have three different components to the deviled egg. You've got the egg white, which is pretty much going to be universal. There's not too much you can do with the egg white portion of a deviled egg. Then you've got the yolk mixture, you know, and then there you can do all kinds of different stuff. And then you've got your topping. With this one, the egg white is that nice, creamy, you know, egg white that you want, done well, very well. But then the creaminess of the yolk, the filling, it sort of mirrored that, the creaminess of the egg yolk, with nothing to make it stand out on its own.
Yeah,
so it kind of is just, it bleeds together and becomes one component.
You need a little crunch or something to it. Just.
Well, a little crunch, a little, again, acidity or sweetness or something to differentiate it more from the yolk. And then you've got the topping of the caviar, which is the only thing that gives it that little salinity, that little bit of a punch.
Yeah.
But it takes over the other two really mild components. And the dill just sort of gets washed out because it's, they literally just put, it's like a little teeny sprig of dill. You get maybe a little dill hint, but not enough.
But no, I'm with you on the pickle plate. It does seem a little odd, but I dug it. I think you need more crackers to butter.
Agreed.
I wasn't gonna say you need less butter. No. The amount of butter is right.
Yeah.
I just more crackers. I hate being the fat guy and just eating raw butter. So.
At least in the presence of others.
At least, well, yeah. Yeah, if I'm at home, you know, game on. I don't care. There's like you mentioned, there's a lot on the menu that we didn't try, but looks good. Before I forget, that bruschetta, I think for me was the best single dish that we had.
Yeah, I think so.
I think that was, again, it comes down to just quail eggs are amazing.
Yeah.
They have a crab chorizo leek, which if I was with my compatriot, we would have had in a heartbeat, but yeah, out of respect for your immune system,
we did not do crab. It's always getting in the way, it really is.
I can understand, but they've got a lot of good seafood. I don't think we really had much in terms of seafood.
No, we didn't. The caviar, I think, was
the caviar was about as much as we did, but the prawns, I've actually heard many people reference the prawns.
Yeah, and they sound delicious.
They do. The mussels, they've got on here.
Scallops sound good.
Scallops. They do a Parmigiano lamb chop, which I'm always down for.
Oh, yeah.
Like cheese and lamb. That could be 80% of my diet.
I'm curious what a $6 lamb chop is like.
Yeah, that is also that. I mean, that is one of, it's actually, it's rare that the... Good.
Very good. I think we're probably done now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the check is...
No, just one. It's rare that the lamb chop is one of the cheapest things on the menu.
Yeah. So, you know, that makes you wonder.
But a good one.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Like
I'm sure it's delicious.
Like, you know, when your friend's girlfriend talks about her friend, it's like you're intrigued. And you're overall positive toward it, but you're willing to be a little wary.
I'll let you have that one. I don't know if I follow there, but I'll let you.
Yeah, that's
fair.
Like most of my analogies, don't think too hard about it. So, but I also got to give special points for my cocktail. I really dug it. I think I found my fall and winter kind of cocktail, that rum and allspice. That was such a nice warming set of flavors. I'd almost want it like I mentioned, like a hot toddy, almost like warmed up a little bit. I think that'd be fantastic. So and you were,
I liked it. No, I liked it. It just, you know, you got. We live in a town of amazing cocktails at this point.
Yeah.
But that being said, there are cocktail deserts that exist, and we happen to be in one where we sit. You know. CC Club isn't exactly known for their top-notch cocktails. Neither is the Bulldog.
No.
You can go down to Heidi's a few blocks, get a spectacular cocktail from just the bar. Very, very good. Muddy Waters can make a really great cocktail, too. So, but this particular zone doesn't really have that cocktail thing. So the fact that you can get this here now is good enough for me.
I think this area in particular, like we're approaching Lynn Lake, and that kind of area, it might have been, frankly, a little coasting on its foodie hipster reputation for a while. And I think they may have slacked off a little bit. So something like this, you know. Maybe can help.
I don't know. That's tough. Because actually, now that I'm thinking about it more, I talk about this as being a cocktail desert. It sort of is in its immediate region, but just behind us a few blocks really is Eat Street and Ice House.
That's true. That is true.
And then a few blocks that way is Heidi's and Muddy Waters. To the right of us, we don't really have anything.
No.
You got Mortimer's and the Red Dragon. And,
which,
I don't really want to talk about the cocktail merits of the Wondrous Punch.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, Red Dragon has its merits as a cocktail destination, but the quality and flavor are not necessarily one of them.
No.
And there's the whole not wanting to get shot thing.
Yeah.
So, which feels unfair because that happened like twice. Yeah. But, you know, it still sticks out in your memory.
Yes, it does.
But no, I'm with you. I think this place has amazing potential. And I would look forward to coming back here. I'm not in this area enough anymore. I mean, I used to live not too far from here. I lived about two blocks from the Wedge. So it wasn't that far. So I was in this area quite a bit. But I would definitely want to come back. And like I said at the top of the show, this place feels more downtown than uptown. Like, this is a place you would go to before going somewhere else.
Yeah, it definitely has that vibe. I don't know. Like, I feel that way kind of about Muddy Waters, though, too. Muddy Waters does such a good job. Like, I think it's...
See, we went there right after they moved.
Okay.
And we were very kind of middling.
Really?
On
Muddy
Waters.
Oh, man, you should go back.
Okay.
Because I really feel like their food is really good, especially considering what you're paying for it. You know?
That is true.
Like, it is quality stuff. Their drinks are really well done.
Yeah, I will say that, because if memory serves, and
that's how you know they're well done.
And well, I was gonna say, and anyone who listens to this show knows how great my memory is. But if memory serves, they hadn't gotten their liquor license yet when we went there, because
okay.
We were there like literally like the week they moved.
Sure.
So I could be making this up, but I don't remember us getting any of their drinks while we were there.
Okay.
So.
Yeah,
it might be worth a revisit.
Oh, yeah, they do good jobs. I mean, I don't know that they have, like, a cocktail menu like this, but, like, I definitely can go in. I can order Manhattan, and it's a good one. They do,
yeah.
They do a good job. Yeah.
Well, I guess I'll have to try that again.
I would suggest putting them to the test.
So where can people find you? Is foodstone.com, is that kind of the hub?
I've been using that a little bit more as an aggregator for all the other stuff I've been doing. So most of the stuff that I put up for, say, City Pages or Lavender goes through there. After the election, I'm going to try very hard to narrow my focus down to fewer websites and blogs and so that there's one, like, place where that all lives.
Okay.
So people don't have to be going all over the place and different. Originally, when a lot of the stuff was created, it was created with the intent of being something a little bit different than it was, and it's all just sort of come under my umbrella. So mm-hmm. I need to figure out how to solidify that or how to bring that in. So.
Well, all right, but you can follow him on Twitter at @foodstoned. You're all over Facebook. Again, it's Cafeteria Creative is kind of the holding company. Your Cayman Islands offshore bank.
Eventually,
yes.
We'll get there.
But definitely check out. Yep. Okay. Definitely check out the videos. The chef's boat no stuff is outstanding. The above the burner stuff is always good. The man knows how to do a video. And this is, you know, this might be faint praise for me who I can't do video at all. So, you know, there's a bit of, are you a wizard to this whole fawning I'm doing right
well,
now?
Well, to be fair, I've been thinking about getting back into podcasting, but I don't, you know.
Well,
that was something that didn't work out once upon a time.
Well,
and I don't know if I can make it work now, but
we'll see what we can.
It's a lot of fun.
Help, yeah. Maybe we can trade knowledge.
I'm all about knowledge trading.
That's right. So, but yeah, check his stuff out. Check out our sponsor, hopchart.com, for all of your beer cataloging needs. Thank you. If you are a Minnesota voter, definitely vote, regardless of your politics. Definitely vote. But at the risk of alienating some of our listeners, but honestly, I don't give a shit. If you are going to vote yes, just stop listening. You know, I feel harsh saying this, but at the same time, it's like you're kind of being a dick. So I'm comfortable alienating the dick demographic.
I support that. I've definitely lost some followers in this whole thing.
Yeah.
So I understand what it comes to speak out and say it. But the more people that do it, the more people start to get it.
Yes. And, you know, if you're a Minnesota voter, pretty much the word you should remember in general for the ballot is just no. Yeah. If no is an option, go for it. Unless we got lucky and got the... Should the state give Fancy Pants Gangsters $1 million of state funding? If we got that on the ballot, I haven't heard yet. But if we did, that you should vote yes.
Oh, yes.
But beyond that, vote no. But other than that, I mean, definitely vote. And we'll talk. I can almost guarantee you we're going to talk more about the election in the next couple shows here. But Kian Amdahl, thank you again for coming on.
Thank you. It's been a ton of fun. I've missed doing this.
Yes, and you're definitely welcome on at any point. If you can get Chris Cleary to come on, I know Dave. You know, I'm not saying anything about Dave, but I know the kind of guy he's into, and Chris kind of fits that profile. So, you know,
I'll see what I can do. I don't know that I have that sort of connection with Chris.
Not yet. Give it time, though. You never know.
We'll see.
I just think it'd be funny to make Dave uncomfortable. So
somebody did suggest something to me that sounded like a lot of fun. I don't know where it will go, but I think I'm going to ask Chris if he wants to do it. And that might be something that's up your alley.
Nice. So, anyway, if you want to follow us, we are at Facebook, at facebook.com/wellfitguidetolife, foursquare.com/wellfitguidetolife, and Twitter at twitter.com/wellfitguidefpg. Another big shout-out to our new intern, Cody. She is very patient with the fact that I get the emails like once every 2 weeks. So I apologize. I once made the joke that I'm a tantric emailer, and that I don't email for a long time, and then I send like 400 emails all at once. Last time I said that, somebody photoshopped my head onto Sting's body from Dune, and the image has seared itself into my brain. So I hesitate to say it again because God knows what's gonna happen. But thank you guys very much for listening. Big thanks to Kian again, and we'll see you next week.